All right, yeah, let's start talking about how to measure COD income. As you all probably know, for most federal income tax purposes, the amount of the debt, the amount at which debt is taken into account for federal income tax purposes, is its adjusted issue price under the OID rules rather than its stated principal amount. So that's going to be the marker. If you cancel debt for cash, you compare the amount of cash you paid to the adjusted issue price of the debt. So we got an example here. We have debt with an adjusted issue price of $500,000, stated principal of $600,000. So there's effectively $100,000 of OID that hasn't yet accrued. So if that's retired for $400,000 of cash, you compare the cash of $400,000 to that adjusted issue price of $500,000, and you've got $100,000 of COD income.
And Mike, the important point, just to repeat it, that you already mentioned, is that when you apply these rules, ladies and gentlemen, as far as how much COD you have when you have a payoff of debt, you can't use the principal amount necessarily, right, Mike? The principal amount's not the relevant number. The relevant number is the adjusted issue price of the debt being extinguished, right? So that's an important distinction, ladies and gentlemen. We have to be careful here. The adjusted issue price is where the action's at. The principal here is not the relevant number as far as figuring out COD.
Absolutely. And in simple cases, they'll be the same, but in many cases, they won't be. And we'll talk about that in a good bit more detail. So talking about debt for debt exchanges and their tax consequences, just here's four highlights of what we're going to be talking about over the next several slides. First of all, an issuer of debt has COD income on a debt for debt exchange, and the measure of that COD income is comparing the issue price of the new debt to the issue price of the old debt. The holder may have gain or loss on that same debt exchange, and in the case of the holder, they're comparing the issue price of the new debt to the their tax basis in the old debt. When we talk about a debt for debt exchange, the tax law has its own idea what a debt for debt exchange is, and something you might just think is a modification of the old debt is actually treated as an exchange for tax purposes. We'll talk about those rules in detail. And then finally, the new debt, if you issue new debt under circumstances that produces COD, in many cases that new debt will also have original issue discount based on the difference between the issue price of that new debt and its principal amount. So here, just to illustrate that general principle that your measurement of cancellation of debt income in a debt for debt exchange is new issue price compared to the old issue price. Let's say we have old debt with an adjusted issue price of $500,000, stated principal $600,000, like we talked about before. And in exchange for that debt, the issuer is going to issue new debt with an issue price of $400,000 and a stated principal amount of $450,000. So we got four numbers there, but we know, since we've talked about it before, that we only have to compare the issue price of the new debt to the issue price of the old. So there's $100,000 in COD from the excess of the $500,000 of old adjusted issue price to the $400,000 of new adjusted issue price. And, because that old debt's $100,000 difference between the $600 and $500 is just future OID that was going to accrue on the old debt. And then on the new debt, we've got stated principal of $450, but adjusted issue price of $400. So that's $50 of OID that's going to accrue in the future on the new debt.
So the critical thing for this, ladies and gentlemen, is Mike's point, if there's a debt for debt exchange, I'm issuing new debt in retirement of old debt. The key conceptual point to remember is that I'm deemed to basically be paying off the old debt with an amount of money that's equal to the issue price of my new debt. So whatever the issue price of my new debt, it's like that's cash. And then I'm deemed to pay off the old debt with that cash. And everything falls from that. So you can cut through the complexities and the confusion by saying, what's the issue price of the new debt? If I had money for the same amount of money, if I had money for the same amount, and I used that money to pay off my old debt, what would happen? And you take that those tools and analyze it that way, Mike. That's the key to understanding this.
Right. And then that cash that was used to pay off the debt is reloaned for the new debt.
So, Mike, I got a question, though. So you're talking about the importance of the issue price of the new debt. How the heck do you determine that, Mike? How do you determine the issue price of the new debt?
All right. That is a good segue to our next slide. There's two important distinctions and then one subsidiary distinction. The first question you should ask yourself is, do I have a debt issue that is over $100 million? Because if debt is deemed traded on an established market, then you have to use the fair market value of the debt, not so you're not looking at its face amount. You're looking at its fair market value determined based on the trading on the established market. But the good news is that we've got a key exception that if the stated principal amount of the issue of debt is $100 million or less, then forget about this rule. You don't look to see whether it's traded on an established market. You just move on to the next simpler rule.
Mike, I got a question for you. Frequently, we have situations where maybe there's $75 million of old debt outstanding, but the client, the issuer wants to issue some more debt. It'll be treated as the same as the earlier debt, a so-called qualified reopening, so-called fungible debt that has the same exact terms as the old debt. So you have the old debt's out there for $75,000. I want to add on $75 million. Pardon me. I want to add on $50 million of new debt that has the exact same terms. All right. I'm going to make it fungible. So it's got the same CUSIP number. It's got the same features. And now I'm talking about $50 million in new debt. How does that play out as far as these rules go? 75 already on the books, adding 50. Can you respect them as separately, or do you have to put them together and aggregate them?
Right. And that the key word there is under that exception, under that second bullet is the issue of debt $100 million or less. And that concept of issue, generally debt in an issue is debt issued around the same time with the same economic terms. And so if you issued 4% debt and 2% debt to different creditors around the same time, those would be two separate issues because they have different economic terms. But as Tom mentions, sometimes there's a rule for qualified reopenings to help you make larger issues of fungible debt that allow you to treat that later $50 million of debt as part of the same issue as the original 75 of debt. And so in that case where you did the qualified reopening.